Nice to see you all here. I don't know most of you, but nice to see you all. Welcome to Hawaii. I love this island. I'm from Kona. I grew up in a coffee plantation. Can you hear me? Don't tell me at the end you couldn't hear me. That's no good. Okay, so I'm going to talk to you about some fusarium, which is a really powerful pathogen. They grow rapidly. They spread fast in a nursery and fields. There are different species that attack more than one species of orchid. They produce tremendous amounts of spores. Spores are like seeds. They spread in the air and by water. Okay, we did a survey of nurseries with fusarium diseases. 7 commercial nurseries from Maui, Oahu, and the Big Island. And 5 of them only grew potted plants. Many genera and intergenetic hybrids were sampled, including those that are listed. The types of the symptoms were leaf flex spots, large spots. Young leaves are very susceptible. The youngest leaf is frequently dead. Flower and bud spots also occurred. Sheet spot, black blights of new shoots. Shoot and root kill. Root rot and collar infections kill the plants. Oops, sorry. How do I go back? In the dry environment, the spots are limited. So sometimes they're small and yellow. But the thing about fusarium is, just because it's a small spot, it doesn't mean there's no spores. So even a small spot with a little white material, that's all spores. And when it rains, it splashes to another plant. The fusarium invades injured tissue very rapidly. This is Gutata, one of the Cattleya hybrids, and is very susceptible. This is Dendrobium. So the young tissue is really susceptible. It can have these small flecks as well as larger spot. And this plant, the Cattaceum, also can have bulb rots. Rots on flowers are also common. And here, one grower had like thousands of these young plants, and the sheets were all rotted, and they were all caused by fusarium. So this is a common problem. They grow these young seedlings, and it splashes onto the young tissue, kills the shoot, and greatly impacts the crop. Root rots are also caused. So these things, the grower thought it was Pythium, or other root diseases, but they're all caused by fusarium. At one nursery known to have fusarium diseases, we counted a number of plants with leaf, sheet, or root rots to determine the percent of plants infected. 12 cultivars were evaluated and included over 2,000 plants. The percentage of diseased plants varied with cultivars and ranged from 7 to 83%. The average was 65. So disease levels can be very high. So this is an intergeneric Oncidiae, and it looks like a bacterial disease, but it's all fusarium. This is a really common problem on Dendrobium, where the youngest leaf gets killed. And in here, it's all dead. People thought this was a fertilizer problem, where they broadcasted the fertilizer. They thought the fertilizer got in here and killed the shoot, but actually it was all fusarium. There is some white powdery material, and that's all spores. So when it rains, the spores splash, and you only need one spore to cause a new infection. So We found different fusarium species at local nurseries. Fusarium proliferatum was common, although one nursery did not have it. Solanae, also common on some nurseries. Oxysporum was very common. And this was an unknown species, which we later identified as Fusarium subglutinans. Okay, Fusarium produces four types of spores, different species, from different form, different types of spores. The macroconidia, macro meaning large, is the large spores with a canoe shape. They are formed quickly and in abundance. The microconidia are smaller spores. They are formed in tremendous numbers. They are formed very quickly and in very high numbers. Chlamydospores are generally round with a thickened wall. These are the survival spores. They're formed slower, but they can last years in a field. Ascospores are sexual spores that are frequently discharged into the air. And of course, they spread very easily. So this is Fusarium proliferatum on orchids. We first found it on Oahu. I won't tell you who, but you saw the person. these are the macroconidia. They're large. They're kind of canoe-shaped. And these are the microconidia spores. So they are produced on these phyalids. So there are two types of phyalids, monophyalids, which is just, excuse me, I'm not sleepy and I'm not bored. But anyway, this is a polyphyalid. So here's a phyalid, but makes a branch. So this is an important characteristic for some of these species. So Fusarium proliferatum makes small spores in chains, and this is the easiest way to form, to find these polyphyalids, because this is one here and another one here. So it's making the chains on these two tips. So this particular pathogen has been identified as Fusarium proliferatum. Microconidia, long and slender spores. Conidia, smaller spore, formed in chains. Polyphyalids are present. No sexual stage is known. No chlamydospores are formed. But just because there's so many spores, it's everywhere. Okay, so I've had two graduate students who have worked on orchid diseases, and these are all the different species that they found in Hawaii. So in addition to proliferatum, oxysporum, solanae, and the subglutinins that we previously identified, many more have been found. The new taxonomy of Fusarium species, many new and significant changes. We use the morphology and type of conidia, whether there's chains or false heads, are polyphyalids present, what's the reverse colony color when you grow it on PDA, are chlamydospores present, ascospores present, what species of ascospores are formed. But now, in addition to morphologically, we're also attacking the taxonomy using phylogenetic methods. Here we use primers and check species against a collection held at Pennsylvania. So extract the DNA, use PCR and characterize and compare it with known species. So here it's really important because unless people study these and have a collection for you to compare it with, it's hard to proceed. But because Fusarium has been so difficult to identify, it's gone well. So we also did some screening with fungicides. Other growers are just waiting for this because they want to know what to spray. Okay. Traditional fungicides, they're systemic, they last long, and they're highly effective. But we are looking at a lot of reduced risk or environmentally friendly compounds. They're limited in systemic activity. They don't last long in the environment, which is why they are environmentally friendly. These are all the traditional fungicides. Probably you've heard of Benlate, which is related to Cleary 3336. Some of these are new, but Rally is being more widely used. Some of these are the reduced risk fungicides. Heritage, which is azoxystrobin, Servan, Ranman, and many of these are made from mushrooms. Why would a mushroom make a fungicide? A mushroom is a fungus, right? Why would it make a fungicide? You think about it. Okay. There are biological pesticides, and we test these also. We have tested Mulsanne over and over and over, and it always comes up not effective, but we keep trying. Method for determining efficacy of fungicides. So what we do is we have some auger, and we put increasing amounts of fungicides in the auger. Then we grow the fusarium on the auger, and we measure the growth after 2 or 3 days. The fungicides that are effective will prevent the fusarium from growing. So all of these, we began the auger test with 19 different fusarium isolates. Isolates are like people. So I'm an isolate, you're an isolate, everybody's a different isolate. Although we all belong to the same species, yeah? So these are different isolates. And the reason why we run different isolates of the same species is because different people have different resistance or susceptibilities. So Rally overall has been one of the best uniformly suppressive to 4 different isolates. Cleary in the past was very effective, but because it is related to Benlate, and Benlate was overused, the fungi became resistant to Benlate, and so when people use Cleary, it was already resistant. Heritage was not bad. Okay, Servan looked interesting because, you know, this is less almost. The colony was only 6 mm in diameter, but one of the isolates grew really well. So this is a clue that maybe Servan, if you use it, you have to be careful. Again, Mirtec had an isolate that grew really well, although the other 4 was less than 4 mm. In radio growth. Switch was also pretty good. So, what we'll do next is take the best fungicide, spray the plants, 7 days later inoculate with fusarium, and ask, can the fungicide protect the plant? Make daily observations of symptom development. Compare with controls that are sprayed with water and inoculated. Early results, Rally was very effective, but you must spray it before inoculation. Once the fusarium is in the plant, it is really difficult to control. I was on sabbatical in Japan, and I went to see some orchid nurseries. What kind of plant is this? Phalaenopsis. So at one one farm, almost 100% of the phalaenopsis were infected, and they make this kind of rot. But it's a bacterial disease, so there's bacteria all around the lesion. And this is typical of bacterial diseases. It's water-soaked spots. And the bacteria is in the leaf as well as all over the leaf. Here the grower has cut off an infected leaf. When it dries, it can look like this. Okay. This was another large nursery. The owner was not present, but it had nobile dendrobiums. Everybody know what nobile dendrobiums are? They make beautiful flowers, and sometimes 100% of this crop was infected. Okay, here's a mystery disease at another nursery. What's wrong with this flower? It makes huge spikes, but long before the spikes should be healthy, but the flowers start to do this. What's wrong with that flower? Doesn't look really healthy. Any guesses? Shout it out. Water stress? It looks old, yeah. In fact, we were calling it the big vein disease. And it was a mystery. The grower could not figure out what was wrong. So he gave us the plant. And we brought it back to the lab. We unpotted it. The lower leaves have this symptom. This is where the roots are going through the base of the leaf. And we see this kind of black rots. So these roots are infected. This is the base of the spike. And it has stem rot. Root rot that goes into the stem. So this is a common symptom of plants infected with fusarium that are being shipped all over the world. And I'm trying to educate the growers in Taiwan and China that they have this problem. It's really sad. You go to a nursery, they have millions and millions of dollars, and they're all contaminated, and they don't know it. Yeah. Okay, any questions? It's really hard. Growers in Hawaii, you know, because of the economic challenges, they are importing a lot of plants, and they import not a tiny plant, but a bigger plant. Then it's faster to flower and make your money quickly, but that's the catch, because they're importing diseased plants. And sometimes foreign people are not really ethical. We know people who run out to the field, they pull out little plants, they sterilize them, they put them into agar, and they ship it, but it's not clean. Yeah, okay.